Well, happy anniversary day to everyone in Auckland. It's a just move that mic forward a bit. It's a fantastic day here in Auckland. We've got a great show lined up for you today. We've got no Rod Davis today, as most people in Auckland on anniversary day, especially in the sailing community, will be out on their boats in the Waitemata. No Mark Watson, as he'll be doing some commentary work for Sky TV, but we have an admirable replacement. So we'll have Jordan Mills to talk to us about a bit of basketball and a Super Bowl preview. We'll have Brenda McNeice speaking to us all things football and probably a lot of banter. Then the panel will be the Silver Tongue, Silver Fox, Sean Summerfield, and the great Southern Man, Lee Piper, discussing all things sports. Over the weekend, the biggest news story, apart from America's Cup, was this one. Roger Tuivasa-Sheck has signed a contract for the 2022 season for New Zealand rugby. He's made it his ambition to be an All Black. When I was doing my research for the show, I felt that we needed to have someone who had knowledge in both games. My next guest is well known in the Wellington area. He played for Wellington B and New Zealand Combined Services as a rugby union player, then played rugby league. He turned the Wainuiomata Mata Rugby League Club into what was considered a joke into national champions. He's become a leader in the Hutt Valley sporting community. He's also a commentator and a player agent. I'd like to welcome to the line Ken Laban. Ken, welcome to the show.
Thanks very much. Nice to be on it.
Yeah, it's great to have you on. Well, of course, this room has been going around for a number of years. Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, he's made the commitment to play rugby union in 2022. Your thoughts on it? Can Roger make that All Black squad? He's got a lot of big competition in front of him.
He certainly has. Bearing in mind that he was captain of the Otahu College First 15 in 2011. He was not only a centre in the team, but he was also in the Auckland Sevens team while he was still a Year 13 student. He was in the New Zealand Secondary Schools. He was in the Auckland Under-18s and in the New Zealand Secondary Schools team that same year, a team that included Adi Savia, Patrick Tuipulotu and Nani Laumape. So as a schoolboy, he was a decorated player, and it was the Roosters Under-20s program in the NRL that identified him that same year and secured him to play Under-20s for the Roosters for 2 years as an 18-year-old. And halfway through his second year, he was identified as a player that could advance to the NRL, and the rest, as they say, is history. He's the Dally M, which is the highest accolade in the NRL. Dally M Player of the Year, Dally M Fullback of the Year. He won an NRL Premiership with the Roosters. So he's been an athlete that's had tremendous success, both his amateur and his professional career. And, of course, as I alluded to, with his time at Otahu, he actually started in rugby union. Now that we're in 2021, we're 10 years hence from that date, and the environment in terms of where he was in the pecking order as a schoolboy, where he was, you know, essentially one of the number one players in the back three, to now competing for an All Black spot. And I'm assuming that he will contend for the number 15 jersey. So he will lean into the conversation with David Harvili from the Crusaders, Geordie Barrett from the Hurricanes, Bowden Barrett from the Blues, and Damien McKenzie at the Chiefs. All four have worn the All Black number 15 jersey. All four will still be young enough and in contention for the 2023 World Cup. And in the case of Geordie Barrett, of course, he's a phenomenal goal kicker in terms of his length. What does he hold? He holds a couple of kicking records past 60 metres for penalties. He's 6'5". Getting bigger and stronger each year, and he's still only a young man as well. So the environment in terms of the rugby union opportunity from, as you alluded to, is a little bit more full than what it was when he left the game back in 2011. He doesn't kick goals, well, not that I'm aware of anyway. And I'm assuming he's going to play fullback wing, He's never played fullback in rugby union since a schoolboy. So it'll be interested ultimately where he ends up. I've been around long enough and cynical enough to know that, you know, you never ever believe everything that you read, and there could be all sorts of agendas going on. And I'm no stranger to having none of us are strangers to players coming out who've got a contract renewal appointment coming up, and then they've been hooked around to various franchises to push the price up before they negotiate this next contract. I'm not suggesting that's a factor, but it has been a factor in the past with some of these news stories. And equally, I'm not sure what it says about the Warriors, who seem to me to have been pretty indifferent in terms of their comments, and their lack of urgency to hold on to him. The top fullbacks in the NRL are on $1 million a season, and given that he's the Dally M fullback, current fullback, he's at the top level, so he'll be on that sort of money. What that says about the Warriors' ability to be able to continue to pay him that money beyond the time of his current contract expiring, I'm not sure. You know, are they as financial, or are they going to make a similar decision that they made with Sean Johnson and let the player go, save that money in their salary cap, and spend it to buy a replacement player at not the same cost? So, you know, there are various issues in there for people to think about and for all of us to debate.
Yeah, of course, when we speak about his replacement at the Warriors, there is a lot of talk going around Matt Duffy from St George, but a player which I really would hope, if the Warriors are smart, is to look at a guy like Nico Hines from the Melbourne Storm. Oh, he would be a fantastic replacement, Ken.
Oh, yes. There's no doubt that there would be quality players who can step up. You know, with the NRL, it really is the case that, you know, who you pick and who you leave out. But there will be a number of quality players that will come into contention for that jersey at the Warriors should he leave.
Yeah, of course, Paul Turner, of course, probably for committing to his dream, he's probably taken a bit of a salary, quite a substantial salary drop. From your time as a player agent, what do you suspect the figure Roger will be on when he is contracted to New Zealand Rugby? Will there be a basic contract, or will there be a third party contract to top up to what would be a salary which he could command?
I don't really know. I don't really know the answer to that question. And as you suggest, I'm not really a player agent. I help.
Sorry, Ken.
Not on a professional level, but I would have thought that one, he won't get $1 million to switch to to rugby union in his first year untried. So, you know, I think he'd be on anywhere between, I don't know, anywhere between 250 and 500,000, I suppose. Yep. But that's only speculating. I don't know who's looking at him. I don't know what franchise is looking at him. I don't know what the state of their salary cap is, or who's got money to do that. But I don't think by any stretch he's guaranteed a safe way to that number 15 jersey in the All Blacks. There are a number of quality players in front of him.
Sure, yeah, because when we speak about position, maybe he may start off on the wing. Could you see a potential for Roger to maybe move into maybe that centre, second five position, Ken?
Yeah, possibly. You know, again, you've got Josh Goodhue, Braden Ennell, Peter Umanga-Jensen, who made his debut. Rico Ioane is my pick as the best midfielder in New Zealand rugby. So there are a number of quality players, and of course Nani Laumape as well had a terrific year in 2020. So he's going to be in the mix with a lot of those guys. I suspect that if the New Zealand Rugby Union are going to stump up a serious amount of money for him, it will be their intention that he will achieve their potential, that he will achieve his potential and secure a place in the Super Rugby franchise and a secure place in the All Blacks. But, you know, even if you look at the wing, with the season that Caleb Clark had,
Will Jordan.
The season that Will Jordan had, some heaps of Sevu Reese, as well. There's a number of quality kids. And of course, Enrico Ioane also can play on the wing. So, and these boys are used to playing rugby as well. So, you know, it's a, to put it this way, it's a brave and a bold move for Roger to come. He could have made twice as much money as he's earning now playing in the Super League in England. But, I suspect he might just think that his time in rugby league is done. He's quite keen to move back to Auckland on a more regular basis. I don't know how tough it's been. Or should I say I do know? We all know how tough it's been on the Warriors players being relocated to Australia. And, of course, they're back living over there now until the end of the NRL.
Yeah, and of course, Ken, of course, you know, if we look on to the 2022 season, the possibilities and maybe the Warriors spending another season, hopefully that doesn't happen, and hopefully that we can get COVID-19 under control. Hopefully, when we're all hoping for that. Ken, while we've got you on the line, are you looking forward to the upcoming Super Rugby season?
Yes, I think live sport is one thing that keeps everybody engaged. I would have liked to have seen an extended Mitre 10 Cup, to be honest.
Yes.
As opposed to just a five-team Super Rugby Aotearoa competition. I would love to have seen the All Blacks released back to their provinces and more professional games being spread around New Zealand. But I understand the implications cost-wise for something like that. But I'm looking forward immensely to the 2021 Super Rugby Aotearoa season.
Yeah, it should be a good one. And, of course, the Blues have picked up a number of players, so they're probably looking the form horse, but you can't go past those Crusaders. So, I'm really looking forward to, like yourself, Ken, to the Super Rugby Aotearoa season, the All Blacks season, and the Mitre 10 Cup. Ken, I just want to thank you for coming on board yesterday. I want to thank Mark Watson for giving me your contact details, and hopefully we can have more chats during the year.
Yes, he's a fine commentator, Mark Watson.
And a good bloke.
Thank you for the opportunity to be on your show. Cheers, mate.
Cheers, thanks a lot. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Ken Laban. Really great insight into Roger Tuivasa's future leap into rugby union. Really a great analyst of our game. He really understands the game. So we're going to play a bit of music. Then next up, we're going to have Jordan Mills. We're going to talk a bit of basketball. We're going to talk a bit of Super Bowl. And then from there on, we'll go to a bit of music, then the madness of Brendan McNeice. So let's get on to it. Let's play a bit of music and let's get Jordan Mills on the line.
Then stood accused, madman and his dream. They saw the train go roaring through the tunnel. They heard the voice travel on the magic wine. But they loved the silence of the river. They dreamed the dawn, the storm, the cannon's wheel. They'll never be defeated. Not even at the darkest hour, their presence will remain. Oh, I'll sing for you a song of Parihaka. One day you'll know the truth. They can't pull out the roots. Gather still the clouds of Taranaki, his children's children wearing the white plume. So take me for the sins of these sad islands. The wave still breaks on the rock of Rohoto. Am when you taste the pepper on your pudding. Think when you taste the sugar in your soup. Oh, who's defeated? They'll never be defeated. And even at the darkest hour, their presence will remain. Oh, I've seen.
Welcome everyone back to the Sports Review here on Planet 104.6 FM or on planetaudio.org.nz. I really should say the West Print Sports Review. And of course, over the weekend, the Breakers, during the week, the Breakers had another loss to the Adelaide 36ers. It's all go in the Australian NBL. Of course, their game against the Wildcats got cancelled again due to a COVID breach. Really silly boys. And of course, it was a bit of NBA. And of course, next Monday, the big game that stops the United States of America Super Bowl. And here to talk to us is our basketball expert and our NFL expert, Jordan Mills. Good afternoon. How are you going, mate?
I'm doing very well, thank you. Yourself?
Yeah, good, mate. Good. We've got a cracking day here in Auckland, mate. I'm in the studio just about cooking. Fortunately, there's nobody here. I'm thinking about taking off my shirt, but I'm too scared somebody will walk in. But anyway, enough of my nonsense. And Breakers, they were terrible during the week, Jordan.
Yeah, look, they started far too slow. And they just took too long to get going, really. It looked like Dan Shamir, their coach, really tried to change the way they played from game one, and it didn't work well. And that was reflective in them dropping game two to Adelaide, which was, you know, rather disappointing from their side. I think, you know, they're a better side on paper, and they really should have taken care of business that game.
Yeah, well, yeah, of course, it looked, over the weekend there were wins for the Hawks. The Hawks are leading that Australian NBL, and you were the one to call it, saying that they were the dark horses of that competition. They're really playing well. Wins for the Bullets, wins 36ers, notching up a few wins. Melbourne United, coached by Dean Vickerman. And, of course, the Phoenix even had a win as well, too, the Southwest Phoenix.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and the Hawks are looking really dangerous. You know, they've only played four games, so it's super early into the season to make any bold predictions. They haven't played the likes of Melbourne United yet, so that'll be a really good test for them. But, you know, all signs are positive for them and all signs are positive for Melbourne. But they're still clicking, and it's like they're finding a way to get victories, and they're 3-0. So it is an early start to the season, I guess, so there's a lot of games to be played. So the Breakers by no means are, I guess, in any trouble or anything like that. They definitely need to get moving pretty quick.
Yeah, well, you're saying they're not in trouble, but they are in trouble in other means. Another covert breach. This is absolutely silly. These guys are professional. They should know the situation we're in, Jordan.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure what the exact details were, so I won't go out on a limb and say anything that I'm not fully aware of. But I know both of the next two games, one was supposed to be last night against Perth, and then another one in the next couple of days against Perth, both have been postponed. They are in Adelaide still, which has been locked down by their government, so I don't know how long they'll have to be stuck in there for the meantime.
Yeah.
But From what I read from the NBL, and it could be totally different, I'm not 100% sure. They just said that, you know, they had some members of their team or their club that were feeling unwell and had COVID tests. So there might have been a breach involved. I'm not too sure as well. But they'll be obviously stuck in Adelaide, you know, for the next probably few days until they can get out and get to wherever they need to go to next.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. Of course, you've signed it. Have you signed your import for the upcoming season?
Yes, so his name is Romaro Gill. Really excited about him. He's got a pretty crazy story, I guess. He's born and bred in Jamaica. Played cricket as a junior. He was a spin bowler, actually, at 7'2". and got seen on the streets of Jamaica by a basketball scout at 16 years old and started playing basketball and suddenly was on a scholarship in the States and went to Seton Hall University. And last year was in their conference, the Big East, which is one of the biggest conferences in NCAA, was their Defensive Player of the Year. So we're really excited about getting him here. He's also got a Kiwi girlfriend, which is crazy. His partner was on scholarship playing tennis at Seton Hall. And her father is actually Tabai Matson, who is a rugby coach, who's assistant coach of the Chiefs.
Oh, wow. Well, I have to say...
Yeah, it's a pretty crazy connection.
It is a real crazy connection, but I'm looking forward to seeing how he goes in the NBL, because I'll be hopefully when the Saints come up to Auckland, I might just have a quick catch-up with you and watch a bit of basketball. Hey, some good performances by Stephen Adams during the weekend, and of course, he had a really good game, but his Pelicans, the rest of the team, tending to let him down. And of course, one thing I want to speak to you yesterday, Lakers versus Celtic. It brought a lot of old memories of a classic which we used to see in the 80s. What was your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, the Celtics are probably not hitting their straps as they'd like to at this time of the year, but they're a very young, talented ball club. You know, I was a little bit young for the Magic Johnson Larry Bird.
Your father will tell you all about it, mate. I tell you that now. It was awesome.
But the mid to late 2000s Lakers Celtics rivalries of Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce versus Kobe Bryant and Pau Gasol, I remember fondly. I think the Celtics are, you know, they're a really, really strong team out of the Eastern Conference. And, you know, if they get their systems right and get Kemba Walker playing well, then I think they're a chance to come out the East. So there was a good game of basketball and came down to the last shot, which is all you can ask for watching a basketball game, isn't it?
Yeah, certainly is. Well, of course, Super Bowl next Monday, and of course, you've been in the hospitality. It's a bit Super Bowl day. It's ended up to be quite a big day, and cities like Auckland, Wellington, and Christchurch. You're an avid fan of the NFL. Chiefs versus Buccaneer, Patrick Mahomes versus Tom Brady. What's your pick for the Super Bowl, Jordan?
Look, I'm a fan of Tom Brady. I have been for a long time, so I can't bet against the GOAT of all quarterbacks and probably, in my opinion, one of the greatest players to ever play the game. So I'm hoping he can pull one out of the hatchet and get another ring. But, you know, the Chiefs are obviously defending champions for a reason. Mahomes is super talented. Travis Kelce, their tight end, super talented. They got star players all the way around. So it'll be a tough battle for the Buccaneers, but I'm hoping that that Brady can pull one out of the hat and get another one before he's finished.
Yeah, I've never really, Tom Brady, I've never been a big fan of his. I've been a big fan of Giselle, his partner, but I've been a huge fan, as most males have been. I should be very careful what I say. But, yeah, so, you know, Patrick Mahomes has really turned into as a real sensation at the moment. So Tom Brady, any team Tom Brady's in, it's always heading for success. He's 41 years of age. He's still got a great passing game for a guy of his age.
Oh, unbelievable at his age to still be doing, you know, that at the MVP type level and winning three games on the road the last 3 weeks has just been, you know, nothing short of spectacular from him. I'm hoping he can pull one more out, and they're at home, which is crazy that they get a, you know, and lucky that they've got the home Super Bowl, which is always at a random venue that's pre-chosen, which is, you know, even better for them to have a home Super Bowl.
Yep. Yeah, I'm going to pick the Chiefs. We might as well have a sly bet on a beverage or any time I'm down in Wellington. So I'll go for the Chiefs, and you're probably going to go Buccaneers, Tom Brady and the Buccaneers.
100%.
Well, I'll tell you what, hopefully I'm looking forward to this. Unfortunately, I've got to do the show, but once I finish that show, I'll be heading down to the Viaduct, probably to O'Hagan's, catch up with a few mates, and we'll probably have a few beers and watch the game and just enjoy it. But anyway, Jordan, I have to say thank you for coming on to the show. Really, always, as always, always enjoy your input into the show. It's always very, very in-depth. Very in-depth, and we hope to be talking again next week.
Thank you very much, Evan. Enjoy your day.
Hey, thank you very much. Jordan Mills, brilliant guy. That, what that guy knows in basketball is fantastic, but he enjoys his American sports and a really good bloke, and I'm really looking forward to meeting Jordan. Well, I'm going to play a bit of music, and then we're going to have... he's back. The Madness of McNeese is next. Welcome everyone back to the Sports Review. Well, he's back. If he's not making complaints to TVNZ about fashion, he's following. He's at Trentham watching the races, and it wasn't Brendan McNeese who ran onto the field in the Wellington Cup. The man was much skinnier. But I'd like to welcome, hello, Mr. McNeese. Happy Auckland Anniversary Day in Wellington.
Absolutely. It's absolutely gorgeous here in the Nice capital here as well, Eben. And yeah, absolutely crazy stuff at Trentham. That certainly wasn't me. I am a bit nutty, but not as nutty as that fella. He's a complete space cadet.
He certainly is. He certainly is. And I couldn't imagine you, because you may have had a full pint in your hand, so you wouldn't do that. I know that. And some betting slips. So anyway, Bruno. Yeah.
If I had got my drink onto the race course, it would affect the going. Hey, but I'll tell you what, even in this crazy seasons, yep, there's one footballing norm that remains a constant. That's the depth of the squad.
Yes,
the depth of the squad is there, you're going to go places. And now, hence Man City now, 3 points clear of Man United with a game in hand, and the pretenders are just slipping off the pace. You know, Spurs losing at Brighton, United dropping 5 points out of six, you know, losing at home to Sheffield United, just criminal. And then, you know, drawing with Arsenal. Leicester falling off the pace today again, losing 3-1 at home to Leeds. Liverpool are still there or thereabouts, but they're going to have to win the big six-pointer on the 8th of February at Anfield against City. That is shaped up to be the game of the season.
Oh, it certainly is. And, of course, the noisy neighbours, as I call them, they've been flying under the radar for the first part of the season. But, you know, no De Bruyne, but they still have that depth within that squad. And, of course, if we were about 2 or 3 months ago, we said that Pep Guardiola was under pressure. Well, I don't know, you know, and we've been critics of him, but, geez, he knows how to build a squad, doesn't he, Brendan?
Well, he does indeed, and look, he was very, very good, because he built the squad, and of course he's got Jesus in the squad as well, so how can he go wrong?
Does he play Sunday?
He certainly does. what did he scored the winner. He scored the winner at the weekend.
It's actually used, but not Jesus, but Torchino. But Torchino makes some sort of name out of it.
Well, they do call him Jesus, but it looks like Jesus on the back of his shirt. So,
oh goodness gracious! You know, Noel Barclay was so sensible last week.
Oh yeah, but he's a man of the Protestant faith.
No. We'll stop you there. No. We're not speaking religion here, and I won't have you insult him, Mr. Barclay. He has a lot of respect for you.
I'm not insulting them. It's just that they're far more straighter than us fellas.
Yeah, no. We'll stop there. Okay. Yeah, goodness gracious. Here we go.
Meanwhile, you've led me, what a beautiful segue into Scotland.
Yeah, things are going well there, are they? Rod Stewart won't be singing any songs, will he?
Yes, absolutely. North of the border at Hadrian's Wall, it's not at all bunny for my team, Glasgow Celtic. Been a dreadful season for them on and off the park, Eamon. Scottish 9-in-a-row champions and then just falling apart. Rangers are winning the league in an absolute canter, while Celtic are absolutely imploding. And as you predicted, Eamon, you're the stoof of football. You predicted that the CEO of Celtic would go after allowing that disastrous trip to Dubai, where all the players come back with COVID, sunburns and hangovers. So he's actually walked the plank this week after 17 years, and it was just a completely ill-advised move, you know, to let the team go to Dubai after losing to Rangers, and then and the whole country in their third national lockdown. You know, it just sends the wrong message.
It certainly does, and of course, we see the gap now, and even Aberdeen are now catching up on them now, so that's a real concern for Celtic.
Absolutely. But the thing is that as most Celtic fans have actually realised now, we're just going to have to write the season off as just being a disaster. And the new CEO that's coming in, a fellow called Dominic McKay, who's very, very highly rated. He's currently the chief operating officer of the Scottish Rugby Union and has had tremendous success domestically with Scottish rugby in bringing the Glasgow Warriors and Edinburgh Rugby up to speed in the domestic tournaments. And, you know, because in Scotland, rugby is not a big game. And he's managed to really raise the profile of that. And he's a lifelong Celtic fan. So they've really got to be looking at, you know, going forward, you know, where do we see Celtic and Rangers in 5 years' time? You know, one of the things is because of the television revenue, they just cannot pay the players the same money that they're getting, you know, certainly in the big nations like in England, Italy and Spain and Germany. So there's going to have to be a rethink or a reset of where the two mega clubs in Scotland actually go. And to my mind, there has been talk for a long time of a European Super League, and I can certainly see Celtic and Rangers fitting lovely into that. Whereas the English Premier League, it's never going to happen. England hates the idea of having Celtic and Rangers in the Premier League because of the tremendous threat that it would bring. Like, can you imagine the difference between, say, Burnley and Celtic or West Brom and Rangers?
These are mega clubs
that are going to bring 60,000-70,000 to a game, and it would transform the EPL, but the English clubs are never going to let it happen because it would completely disrupt their status quo.
I'm actually going to give you a right of reply here to myself. I actually believe at the present time, Celtic and Rangers would be mid-championship teams. You might not agree with me, Brendan, or we might have a little bit of an argument over this, but I don't believe.
Well, you see, that's one of the biggest myths. If you actually look at the records of Celtic against First Division and Premier League clubs over the years in Europe, it's an outstanding, resounding tick in the right box for the Scottish clubs. Celtic beat the mighty Leeds home and away in 1974 in the European Cup semi-final. they're beating Manchester United, they're beating Liverpool, they're beating Barcelona. So the figures is that it's very, very difficult. Very, very difficult at the minute when you're playing Hamilton on the Academicals on a Saturday and then you're playing Barcelona on a Wednesday. But given an opportunity, Celtic and Rangers would not only compete in the English Premier League, they would take it over.
Okay. Have you been smoking those funny cigarettes again?
I have not. When's the last time an English club beat Barcelona?
Well, not in a long time, but...
Yes, well, I rest my case.
Okay.
Hey, so... Well, we might agree to disagree on that one.
I think we will on this one, Brendan.
All you've got to do on that one is do your research on who has won and who has lost. I'll
have it for next week.
Make sure you look up the Blackburn Rovers result when Blackburn Rovers won the Premier League and they beat them home and away as well.
That's fine. Anyway, what do you think of the sailing?
It's quite a cruel sport, really. It's a cruel sport. How will history remember Dean Barker? Will they remember him as a winner or an ailing man? Because the funny thing about sailing, I think, Eamon, is that like you're either a winner or you're an ailing man. Like for instance, Dirty Dennis was always a winner. Chris Dixon was also an ailing man. Sir Peter Blake was always a winner. Grant Dalton, to my mind, was an ailing man. Russell Cooch was a winner. And Dean Barker's an ailing man. And it's just a really, really cruel sport because of the fine margins between being an ailing man and being a winner.
Yeah, well, I think it's pretty much curtains for Dean Barker, you know. I actually feel a bit sorry for him because he does get maligned and he's criticised because it's perceived that he can't perform under pressure. And, of course, he's 47. He's at a certain age where he's probably looking, well, thinking, is this really worth having all the pressure helm in a boat? Am I best to just be a sailing coach, etc.? But I tell you what, Brendan, I reckon this will be the last time we see an American challenge for the America's Cup for a while between me and you.
Yeah, who knows in the America's Cup? It's just a wonderful, amazing sort of sport that just keeps evolving and keeps changing and keeps surprising, and it's just riveting television. And of course, England now v Italy now to see who takes on in New Zealand in the America's Cup itself. So I just can't wait. It's absolutely I absolutely love it.
I tell you what, I wouldn't. The Italians look pretty good, so you know that I'm looking forward to that. I'm hoping that you can come up to the America's Cup so we can both go out on a fishing boat and watch it.
Absolutely. Well, next week, even of course, we've got. It's going to be a super, super Monday for us. I'll be doing your show live from the Tierra Nica races, so you'll be able to get me there next week. And of course, I'll be keeping an eye on the Super Bowl. It's Super Bowl Monday, and there's absolutely nothing like this one coming up. You know, it's the Sorcerer against the Apprentice. You know, Tom Brady against Patrick Mahomes, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the first ever team to play at home in the Super Bowl against the reigning champions, Kansas City Chiefs, with the young gun, Patrick Mahomes. It's just tantalizing stuff. It couldn't have been set up any better. The evergreen Tom Brady, nobody gave him an absolute earthly chance of resurrecting his career after he was sacked by the New England Patriots. And then he comes to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, pulls a pretty average team together, and gets into the Super Bowl.
I tell you what, he's fantastic. You know, 41. I'm not a great fan. As I said, I was speaking to Jordan Mills earlier. I'm not a great fan of Tom Brady. Great fan of Giselle. Believe me, I am a great fan of Giselle.
But, and she speaks highly of you too, Damon.
Well, only human after all, but yeah. Yeah, but what was it? Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I just think...
Tell me why you're not a fan of Tom Brady.
I just think I just never liked that New England Patriots side. I felt they were just... Didn't like that Belichick. Yeah, because he was a big probably because he was a big Trump supporter, but, you know, but apart from, I'm just not a fan. I really would have wanted to see the Chiefs win. I want to see Patrick Mahomes. I think he's sensational. I think he's the future of the NFL. He, you know, but Tom Brady, you can't, the guy is a legend. The guy is probably the greatest of all time. He, when it comes to quarterbacks, he's in the same category as, say, the great Joe Montana.
Yeah. Can I ask you, Evan, is this your sort of Kiwi tall puppy syndrome thing that you don't like winners, you don't like New England Patriots, you don't like Tom Brady because they're serial winners? Is that what it is?
No. I've just not been a fan of Bill Belichick. I've always been a fan of, you know, like, I like to see the underdog. It's always good to see the underdog. I support the underdog. This is why you come on my show, because you're an underdog just like me, Brendan.
Well, fair enough. But you can't I sometimes take exception to people who have a pup of greatness because, you know, there's...
Definitely, I'm far from that. I am definitely far from that. I've just never been a fan. I've always preferred another side to win it. My preference would have been to see a magical story of, say, someone like the Buffalo Bills win it.
Oh, absolutely. My team, the Packers, choked again. They're definitely the Boston Stranglers of the NFL. That's absolutely four defeats now in the, effectively, what the championship games is the semi-finals in the last 10 years, and it's just really, really hard to take. And you've got to think, you know, it's just the end for Aaron Rodgers. You know, Aaron Rodgers is an absolute sensational player, but you've got to be able to get to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, you certainly do. Well, I have to say, Brendan, we've had a bit of for us two, it's been a bit of bickering today, not banter, it's been more bickering.
It's all the same. You might have to do a pre-record with me next week because I'll be at the Taranika races and she's an early start.
Well, no. You're coming on live.
All right. Okay, have you got the 7-second delay button?
I'm putting you off now. Catch you later, Brendan. Hey, have a great weekend. Have a great week, and we'll catch you next week.
Cheers, mate.
Yep, he was in a testy mood today, wasn't he, Goose? Anyway, could be interesting next week when he's at the races full of the amber liquid. I would have to have the delay button on there. Okay, we're going to play a bit of music. Next up, we've got the bit of Sensibility. We've got the panel of the Sean Summerfield and Lee Piper. I'll just play a bit of music and get them to you soon.
Mama, hey, let me check.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome back to the Sports Review here on Planet 104.6 FM, or if you listen on Planet Audio. Just had a few little issues, but we're back on air a little bit later than we expected, but we have two very special guests. Both of them would have known their time from being in Southland on radio. The first is the Silver Tongue Silver Fox, Sean Summerfield. Good afternoon.
Mate. How are you?
And the great Southern man himself, Lee Piper.
Kia ora, good afternoon all.
Yeah, good. And I hope you're both having a good weekend. I hope you're having a great anniversary day there, Sean. And I hope, Lee, you're enjoying your day at work.
Yeah, no, thanks.
Oh, that's okay, mate.
For the record, Eamon, I take the day off, but it's not my anniversary. And I tell you, the best thing about working in Southland, and I don't know if it's still the case, Lee, but I think the Southland anniversary day seemed to happen on about three or four different dates. Whenever the weekend, it was fantastic.
Yeah, they couldn't work it out. I think the official day was something like the 19th of January, and in the end they all caved in, and it's now the second or the Tuesday after Easter Monday. So yep.
I had about two or three of them.
Yeah, same. Well, when I was running the whole South Island, I used to take them all: Nelson, Christchurch, Otago, Southland, but. Not the case now that I'm in Dunners.
Yeah, well, the real world has hit you, Mr. Piper. Hey, let's get the show on the road. Roger Tuivasa's Sheck has signed a contract to join New Zealand Rugby in 2022. Your thoughts, gentlemen, starting off with you, Lee.
Yeah, well, obviously from a marketing perspective and from a grab, it's a great grab for New Zealand Rugby, and the excitement around it will be significant. I think the questions are still... remain unanswered. Where will he play? And it seems logical that given he's in Auckland, he'll go to the Blues. But it's kind of, what's his best chance of playing, and where does he play? And most people are talking that he might play, you know, in the midfield. But it's a crowded field, you know, when you have a look at the centres and the outsides. You've got both Barretts, you've got Damian McKenzie, you've got David Harbilly, you've got Will Jordan, you've got Jack Goodhue, you've got Rico Ioane. You got Caleb Clark, it's Anton Leonard Brown, you name them, they're in there. So I don't think it's going to be an automatic run-in for the former Warriors or the current Warriors captain, but it's certainly going to add some excitement, but I think he's got work to do.
Sean?
Oh, look, it's the reactions, I found it quite interesting. The fact is, he was a rugby player that went to league. He's just changed codes again, he's gone back, and there seems to be quite a motive. Guys, what I think's great is he said he's doing it after this year. He's not just, you know, up sticks and ran away. He's doing everything, you know, and it seems like in the proper way. So that's good. And so it's not some, you know, shock defection and he's gone tomorrow. But I'm with you on position, Lee, because I don't know. I would never felt that Sonny Bill really settled in a position either. And that's an interesting... One, you know, whereas I think old Brad Thorne was a bit different. He got in there, was fine. But I think that transition can be a bit difficult. And if he gets the right position, he's a great asset. There's no doubt he's an incredible athlete. But he wouldn't want to leave any later at 27.
No, and I think the other questions that go unanswered is would he be better at centre than Rico Ioane? Would he be better on the wing than a Caleb Clark? You know, and that transition, and your points is not to be lost here. We saw Benji Marshall, and he just couldn't cop it or make it at all, albeit it's very difficult at you know, 9-10 to switch codes. But just to switch back when really his rugby experience is, yep, he came through school. But I just think it's a lot harder, particularly nowadays, than it is. You know, we've seen the All Blacks, the rush defence, how difficult it's been with the talent that they've had to overcome that, and how... You know, it really stifled them at the last Rugby World Cup. They just couldn't get it together, really. And when England really put the pressure on them, they were a bit lost. So it's a game that's not... There isn't as many opportunities. There's not as much space as rugby league. And yep, he's a fine athlete. No one's ever going to question that. But I'm not sure it's going to be as easy as many people think. Firstly, he's got to pick a Super Rugby team. And to me, he's got to look around there. I reckon he's got to go, to Sean's point, if I'm a centre... Go and find a franchise where I can play centre for the entire season. Don't go and sit on the bench and not play. So that would be my first thing. And you know, when you look around, there's some good centres that are around at all franchises, you know, particularly up north. You know, the Hurricanes, what are they, around centre? And might be looking next year as well. But I think you've got to pick a side where you're going to play and you're going to get used to it. If he can adapt quick enough, he's a shot. If he can't, you know, it could be a little bit of a little bit of a limp.
Yeah, I think, I mean, the logic would say Auckland for geography, but gosh, I don't know. I think you can't go wrong if you send a player to the finishing score. I'm not trying to speak like Kante, but yes. The Crusaders can is the safest and most reliable way to make him into a first-class rugby player quickly.
Mm. Yeah, just on that, gentlemen. You remember many years ago when there was speculation going back to 2018. I heard from a source that Colin Cooper at one point was looking at him for the Chiefs, but he would be an asset, I believe, in any franchise, and whether it be the Highlanders, the Crusaders, the Hurricanes, the Chiefs, or the Blues, he's probably likely to head to the Blues. To me, if he wants to actually have an opportunity to start in that midfield, I think he should be looking at a place like the Chiefs or possibly your Highlanders, Lee.
Yeah, well, the advantage of the Highlanders is that he would be under Tony Brown, and yep. Brown's widely recognised as one of the best back coaches, or one of the best coaches going around. So that's a tick. But the counter to that, to Sean's point, is that when he goes, if he went to a Crusaders or the Blues, his ability to adapt and the systems and processes that those guys run, without sounding like a total wagon, that they're so good. You've seen so many players come through that have made it just simply because of being in that environment. George Bowers is a really good example here. No one will probably recognise the name, although he was an All Black in 2020. Mm. This guy was a club player at Dunedin Club Rugby. He was in the Otago side. He got taken into the Crusaders franchise. He barely played, but by being in that environment and by being around quality players, he developed so much that he became an All Black. And so, you know, I think there's a lot for Roger or RTS to think about before he makes those decisions. But look, I think everyone wishes him well. Personally, I think that All Black midfield needs a bit of a spark. I think your good Hugh Leonard Brown, they're too much of the same player, and there's not enough, for me, there's not enough pace at centre with either of them. I think Leonard Brown's a better 12, and I think the jury for me is still out on Jack Goodhue. I liked Rico Ioane at 13. I think you and I have talked about this before. I thought the All Blacks could have carried on with that and just seen how far that could have gone, because he's got the ability. He's so quick. He's so strong. And if RTS comes in and can play the same kind of game, I think you get that Nonu Smith going again, where you've got a bit of variety, and I think that's what the All Blacks have lacked.
True. Okay.
Slightly touchy-feely thing here, guys. It depends what they want him to do. If they wanted to come and try and rescue a Super Rugby franchise and be a star for them, then hey, you go Blues. If they want to actually make him into a great All Black, then they need to look somewhere else. That's just from a slightly different angle, because if he goes into a team that need him, that I don't think that's good for him. He needs to go to a team that can help him be a better All Black, if that's what they're looking at.
Absolutely.
Well, wherever he goes, he's going to draw a crowd. He is going to draw a massive crowd, and that's good for the night.
Certainly is. Now, the next subject, America's Cup. American Magic was eliminated. Is this the end for Dean Barker as a helmsman in America's Cup? And is this the end for the United States entering a team in the America's Cup Challenge Series?
No.
Well, explain why.
Well, because it's called the America's Cup, and the richest nation in the world that wants to sail, and there's still people that will go for it. Look, they had some rough luck, and it didn't work out. And they, you know, we've had plenty of failures as well. For Dean Barker, look, he was a world match racing champion. He is one of the best match racers around. He can sail on foils. Just like a coach doesn't lose a game on the field, he is just one person on that boat. Look, who's to say that if he wasn't to, they hadn't made it through, that his knowledge of those waters wouldn't have kept moving forward? Who knows? But the margins are so tiny that I don't think it was a... I think they messed up in a whole lot of areas in a little bit, But I think Barker, I know his losses have been very public, but he is still one of the best mass racers, and there's only so many people that can actually match race a big foiling yacht like these, and he is one of them.
Yeah, I think Sean's a good one there. I think he sailed P-class, basically, that's his home. You talk about home advantage, I think it was probably a good move from American Magic. I agree there's a lot more happening on that boat. And you could see when they capsized, there was a lot of communication around that bottom mark as to what they should have been doing, and they kind of got confused amongst themselves, and then they knew they were in trouble. When they came back, there's no way that boat was ready to compete. I think they did a great job getting it in the water, but you could see the problems that they were having with the rudder, and once the rudder goes, you're shot. He was straight. You could see on the on-camera footage there that he was just struggling to keep hold of the wheel. So they were never a shot. But remember, pre-Christmas, they were the ones to beat. They beat Team New Zealand in the Christmas Cup. They were flying along. Yeah, maybe their boat didn't move forward. I'm not sure whether he's the helmsman moving forward, but he's certainly someone that should be part of a team. He's got a lot of experience. Sean's point, he's a former world match racing champion. You don't lose that talent, and he would be very welcome, I would think, in any syndicate. I just think that, it was very public. Some things didn't go his way. But look, the fractions between success and failure we've seen, and again, to Sean's point, New Zealand has been in the same boat. He just fell on the cards just didn't fall his way. But I would say he'll be back in some form. Will America or the US continue to compete 100%? They've got the clout to do it. They've got a long, rich history in the sport and in this particular event, clearly, and they'll front again.
Hey, Eamon, guys, do you remember the first time you went on a bike and went up a hill and went downhill really fast and ran out of brakes?
Yep.
That's what it would have felt like on that boat if they hit that mark and things went bad.
Oh, yeah.
These things are going at speeds that I don't think many people really fathom. Trust me, if they were picked up by the radar going under the harbour bridge, they'd be done for speeding. So, yeah, I'm amazed that more haven't gone the same way of what happened to them earlier on.
Certainly has, and of course the rumour still that has been circulating. I don't know whether you've heard it, Lee, about if New Zealand defends that. I don't know, we've got less than a minute to go, but there's talk about the next America's Cup being held in Abu Dhabi.
Well, I think that's just a rumour. It's not, and I haven't heard that one. Look, money always talks in this, and there's been some ridiculous decisions that would clearly be up there.
Yeah, well, you'd definitely hope that this wouldn't be. I'll tell you what, it would be, if they were to ever do that, that would be worse than what we saw in 2000 and 2003. So, anyway, guys, I really thank you so much. Both of you, your input's been great. I'm sorry it's a bit shorter than usual. Thanks a lot, Lee. Have a great day in Dunedin. And, Sean, you have a great day in West Auckland. And we'll catch up again soon, boys.
Cheers. Thanks,
Lee. See you later.
Bye. Cheers, mate. Okay, so there we go. We'll just finish off. 10 seconds to go, I have to say. Quite a good show today, very informative, a bit of banter, some great stuff by our panel of Sean Summerfield.